Blog Talk Radio.
You have just tuned in to the Midweek Pick-Me-Up Energy Show, featuring professional officiant, tuning fork facilitator, and author, Marcy Ann Chee. In 1988, Marcy Ann discovered the quantum fields of energy and vibration, and since then her life has been a day-to-day experiment in knowing how to live in light energy for happiness, health, and wealth. She shares the principles and laws of light energy as they operate in everyday life. And now, here is Marcy Ann.
I'm on vacation this week, and I'm running a very popular series that I did about a year and a half ago on prayer that works every time. And I'm going to have the program today that tells you how the prayers are answered. Welcome you to my show tonight. Say, what? When? Where? Why? Well, tonight we're going to be answering the question, what? Tonight we are going to talk about prayer that works every single time. This is part two. And I'm going to answer the question, what is the vast hierarchy that is in place that answers prayers? So last week I shared with you two forms of prayer that really work and how to do them. One is the prayer of the intention, and the other one is the prayer of the covenant. And I talked about this vast hierarchy that is just waiting for us to speak out our intention or to know what it is we made the covenant about. And I want to talk a little bit more about this vast hierarchy because I said last week that a lot of people either don't know about it or they don't believe in it. So they have a limited experience with having their prayers answered. But I also said that whether we believe in it or not, or whether we even know about it or not, this vast hierarchy is bringing to pass every single thing that we are thinking and speaking all the time anyway. So it would be more to your advantage to first of all know about this hierarchy, and secondly to learn to trust it, and finally to begin to work with it consciously instead of unconsciously, just willy-nilly. So what is this vast hierarchy? To begin to answer this question, I need to go back to the beginning and straighten out some things. I was reading in the Huffington Post this week about Stuart Kaufman. He's a biologist at the University of Calgary in Canada. And he certainly would agree that not only is it a barbarous idea to appease an angry God, to propitiate an offended Lord, to try to win the favor of a deity through sacrifices and penance and even by the shedding of innocent blood, that these childish ideas represent a religion that is wholly puerile and primitive. It's just a philosophy unworthy of our enlightened age of science and truth. Professor Kaufman says that the God of traditional religion no longer jibes with our current scientific knowledge. And I certainly would say amen to this. And I would add that such beliefs are utterly repulsive to all these celestial beings in this vast hierarchy of workers, as well as the divine rulers who serve and reign in our universe. It is just an agony to God for you to believe or hold on to or teach that innocent blood must be shed in order to win his favor or to appease his divine wrath. God is not angry at you. God is love. Love is the total opposite of anger. An angry God is just a fictitious invention of angry, evil minds. If you want a good example of an angry mind, just see what Jodi Arias did. And if you want a good example of an evil mind, just see what Dick Cheney did. I don't think we want this kind of a God. Moreover, Professor Kaufman says that to invoke God is to invoke the vast creative forces of nature, known and unknown. And I also say, amen. Invoking God is just prayer that works. So let's go back to Genesis and take another look at what really happened there. Because we can't build a house on a crumbling foundation and expect it to stand. In Genesis chapter 1, verse 26, now the first 25 verses are, the heavens and the earth are made, the lights in the sky are placed for during the day and at night, the grasses and the herb yielding seeds and the fruit trees and all the other plants are made. And then the waters brought forth the great whales and moving creatures, and then the fowls that fly above the earth, and then the cattle and the creeping things and the beasts of the earth. And finally, in verse 26, it says, let us make man in our image. Well, who is speaking here? Who is this us who is talking here? There has to be more than one person here. There must be at least two of them for them to say, let us make man in our image. Well, the truth is that this is a coven of authorities. Now, that word coven comes from the Latin, and it means to agree. And later on in the French language, the idea of gathering together to agree was part of the definition. It wasn't used as pertaining to witches until after the late 1600s, but long, long, long before that, a coven was just a gathering where a group of authorities agreed to do something together. You could also say a Congress, or a Senate, or a Parliament, or a congregation. And in the case in Genesis, this group of authorities who gathered together were going to agree about how to make a man. And they wanted this man to be made a certain way with certain powers. Okay, so who are these authorities? Well, first of all, they work under the Architects of Being. And the Architects of Being work directly under God the Supreme. Now, the Architects of Being are a group of authorities who are in charge of life everywhere. And they send out the life carriers. Now, the life carriers are the authorities who bring life to a new planet when it's time for life, somewhat like a Homo sapiens, to take place. Now, the life carriers have gobs of experience doing this. Life on our planet was not their first creation. They've been working together for a long time, and they have a lot of experience. Life on the planets and a universe, while similar in most respects, differs in many ways on each planet. Because even in a uniform series of life in a single family of worlds, life is not exactly the same on any two planets. There's always a unique planetary type. For the life carriers work constantly in an effort to improve the vital formulas that are committed to their keeping. There are over 1 million fundamental cosmic chemical formulas that constitute the parent patterns, and the numerous basic functional variations of life manifestation. The universe physicists and the electrochemists are serve as technical assistants to the life carriers in the work of capturing, organizing, and manipulating the essential units of energy that are used to create new vehicles for life transmission. Now, the life carriers and all those associates collaborate with the Melchizedeks in an effort to modify and possibly improve life, which is destined for planets. Now, the Melchizedeks are the master teachers of the universe. On our Earth, they've been called the Buddhas, the Shivas, Krishnas, the Christs, the Muhammads, the ones who bring forth the knowledge, the techniques, and prayers that lead individuals on their own individual spiritual path. The Bible says that Jesus originally was a Melchizedek before he was promoted to be in charge of our universe. And I believe that Dr. Deepak Chopra is a Melchizedek. Now, our Earth is a life experiment planet. One planet in every 10 worlds is experimental. And actually, here on Earth, we as a part of this experiment can come up with an idea or a concept or a thought that has perhaps never been ever done anyplace else in the whole of all the universes. You know, every day you can read a story on the internet about something that's been done that has never been done before. And the problem of crisis management is that a one-time occurrence might never ever happen again. So to build a whole defense system around a one-time occurrence is very expensive and actually totally unnecessary. But that is a discussion for another radio program in the future. Just know that all new ideas and concepts and thoughts are carefully cataloged and stored away for future generations to use on this and all other worlds. So it is the life carriers who are the ones who are speaking here. Let us make man in our image. They are the ones who are assigned to bring forth the next level of life on an Earth, and they decided for our Earth to give man the same powers that they had, as this would give us an advantage and also the ability to continue to ascend into higher and higher positions of authority, where eventually we could also qualify to become a life carrier and help to create a new world someplace else in a far and distant universe that has yet to be created. You know that part of you inside of you that makes you want to continue to go up the ladder of success to become with more power to do your life here on this earth, that is that part of you that is made like the life carrier. Now, if you've been listening to my show for a while, you've heard me say that I never have been attracted to the idea of being able to go to heaven when I die, because heaven just sounded so boring. But this idea that if I continue to learn how to use my powers, I can eventually qualify to help run a universe someplace? Now, that appeals to me. This is an idea that gives me great purpose for this life and great excitement for the afterlife. So the powers of the life carriers are that each and every one of them has the ability to think and then to speak their intentions, and their intentions are then manifested. So they said, let us make a man, and let that man be made in our image. And it was so. And man was created. Now this is the moment that's in between Homo erectus and Homo sapiens. This place that science has yet to fill in. This is where the quantum leap happened, from ape to man. Where their word was spoken and man made a sudden leap into Homo sapiens. And the word man here included woman, as is explained later on in Genesis. Male and female created they them. And the dominion of the earth was to be given unto them. This new couple were given the powers to think and to speak what they think. And they were connected to the Spirit of God the Supreme. As it is the Spirit of God the Supreme, that is the God spark that starts every heart to beat. Now in the Bible, this couple is called Adam and Eve. Now I believe that Adam and Eve were transported here from another dimension already fully formed. They came to upstep the biological advancement that was already present here on our earth, that primitive caveman who had evolved to a certain point where the time of the advancement could take place. And I believe they brought the 12 strands of DNA that make the human body that we have now. Now, we have two strands working at this time with 20 codons in operation. But we have a capacity of 60 codons working with the 12 strands eventually. And actually, kids coming in today have more than 20 codons working already. They are wired very differently than we are. And most of them are currently taking Ritalin, or they've been judged autistic or Asperger's or something like that, because the current school system can't handle them. And as the current school system continues to fail, and as we begin to realize that drugs are not the answer, new ways of dealing with these advanced evolutionary beings will be developed, and they will begin to be able to use their special gifts and talents to help us make a better world. So we, as the new creation of man here on earth, are now connected to the Spirit of God the Supreme. And as Adam and Eve began their job of upstepping the biological creation, the heart of each and every new human being that was born was started by the God spark energy of God the Supreme. And this God spark energy is love, passion, and desire. And it includes, number one, intuition. Now, animals also have intuition. This is the ability of the primitive part of our brain, the arugula, to quickly perceive a situation and react in self-preservative, natural, inherent reflex instincts, like, take your hand off that burning stove, or run like the wind if you see a wild animal. This is the place of flight or fight. And it is imprinted with all the natural instincts, as well as learned instincts from our life experiences. But nothing is set in stone here, because actually nothing is set in stone anywhere. This is an experimental planet. But if we have imprints in our arugula, we can reprint new information here that will override and re-record the new information, and then our instinctive reflexes will be from the new information. And as an example of this, I used to be afraid of flying because of some terrible experiences I had on several flights. But I have gone into this intuitive place and re-recorded new information, especially since the airlines have now passed that law that says they can't sequester us on a plane anymore now for more than 2 hours. And now I can fly again. Okay, number two, this spirit, God spark spirit of love, passion, and desire has courage. This is the curiosity mother of adventure and discovery. I have a great big amount of this because I have always been asking why my whole life. And I've dared to go where no man's dared to go before. And this is also the basis of our character that provides us with moral stamina and spiritual bravery. And during all of these recent disasters, you know, 9/11, Katrina, Sandy, and now that horrible tornado in Oklahoma, we see the spirit of courage at work. And our next thing we have is understanding. This is the gift of using the knowledge that we have acquired to reason and make a quick decision or a prompt and careful judgment. And I believe the animals have this also. Next, we have the spirit of counsel. This is the gift that allows our species to cooperate with one another, as well as the ability of willed creatures to harmonize with their fellow man. And Facebook, Twitter, LinkedIn, and all the other social media are good examples of this today. Next, we have the spirit of compassion. This is our ability to feel sympathy, to forgive and show mercy, to cherish and to be very tender towards, to hold something or someone dear to our heart. And then the next level is the spirit of worship, and this separates us from the animal realm. To worship means that its simplest understanding is to give worth to something, to admire, to respect, to esteem, to hold dear, to revere a person. Unfortunately, today, about all we give worth to and worship are celebrities and the nightly news' police report. However, we are beginning to move more towards true worship. True worship begins first with loving ourselves and giving worth to ourselves. And then we will be able to truly love others and be able to assess, and give worth to them. And since this is the one place where we're supposed to be smarter and more evolved than the animals, we need to look at our lives and see if this is true. What do we worship? What are we considering more worthwhile than we are? Do you believe you are as valuable as Justin Bieber? Do you believe you are as valuable as President Obama? You know, President Obama started out as just another brown-skinned island boy, going to school with all the other brown-skinned island kids in Hawaii. His mom was a single working mom, and his grandparents helped to raise him, and he didn't know his dad. And now he is president of the United States. Because we all live in an environment where anything is possible. You can be whatever you want to be. You can ascend to whatever heights you wish to climb to. Just activate this spirit of worship within you and consciously acknowledge your worth. Set your intentions and speak your truth. And finally, the most important part of what Adam and Eve brought to us is the spirit of wisdom. Now, according to the Urantia book, the definition of the spirit of wisdom is the inherent tendency of all moral creatures toward orderly and progressive evolutionary advancement. This is the highest of the mind spirits, and it cooperates with the work of all the others. This spirit is the secret of that inborn urge of mind creatures for their inexplicable ability to survive. And I will add that wisdom is the curator of all knowledge, and it allows us to become omniscient, which is the capacity to know everything there is to know about anything. It is the most valuable part of the God spark that beats our heart. So are you using your spirit of wisdom? When this part of us is fully in operation, we'll be able to walk out on our individual specific path for our life and make good decisions. And we can get to where we will quit making mistakes and be able to be totally successful in all of our endeavors. So I know it took me quite a while to get to verse 26 in Genesis, but now the life carriers are the ones who spoke the word, "Let us make man in our image," and their word was made flesh, and man was created, and Adam and Eve brought us the many wonderful spirits of the God Supreme to be within us, and now we are able to pray the prayer of the covenant and set an intention and see it manifested. So now, who is it that did the work of the spoken word of the life carriers? Because that's who's going to do the work of our spoken word. It was this vast hierarchy that got busy and caused this to happen. This vast hierarchy is made up of a multitude of celestial workers who are all trained and assigned their specific jobs to bring to pass anything that we can think or ask. And their job is to make it happen exceedingly abundantly more than we said we wanted. This is actually how I run my business. I promise a certain amount of services, but then my staff and I give them way more than they thought they were going to get. And all of my brides and grooms tell me afterwards how wonderful everything was. And if you read the testimonials on my webpage, www.marcyann.com, they say, "Our wedding was so much more than what we were expecting." And so this is the way it is when we pray the prayer of the covenant, or we set our intention and speak it out to the universe. This group of celestial beings immediately goes to work to bring our desires to pass. The Bible means it when it says that God wants to give you the desires of your heart. It's the Father's good pleasure to give you the kingdom of heaven right here on earth. Now, some of these celestial beings are, well, first of all, Jesus is the head of everything. He is now one of God the Supreme's creator sons, and he's been put in charge of our universe. There's many universes. And Gabriel is his chief administrator of everything. And then there are the Melchizedeks and the Constellation Fathers, the system sovereigns, the system circuit supervisors, the angels and the archangels, the seraphim and the cherubim, the planetary princes, the elementals, the faithful of days, the record keepers, the power directors, the high commissioners, and the most highs and their assistants, the 4 and 20 elders, and the ancients of days. Now, all of these main authorities have dozens and dozens and dozens of workers who they give their orders to. And this isn't all of the authorities in this vast hierarchy of workers. These are just some of them which are listed in the Bible. But I could go on for the rest of the program listing all the other workers, because it is a vast hierarchy of very organized, dedicated, trustworthy, honest, and loyal workers. To qualify to be a part of this vast hierarchy of workers, a being must pass many, many, many tests. All aspects of their character must be tested to the max. Jesus isn't going to let anybody work in this important core of workers who could mess up or be careless or lackadaisical or be doing personal stuff while they are on the job. These beings have been screened and validated by Jesus himself. One day while Jesus was out teaching the multitudes in exasperation, he said, "Don't you know you are gods? Don't you know that you shall decree a thing and it shall come to pass? Don't you know that two of you can agree about something, anything, and it'll be done for you by my Father which is in heaven?" So Jesus is calling this vast hierarchy that is just waiting, ready to hear our desires to bring him to pass, his Father in heaven. Because this is a simple way of saying, we will do it. There's no need to go into all the details. We will get it done. Believe me, I know how to get it done. And when Jesus said we are gods, this is not saying that we are the absolute ultimate God, the supreme. It means that we have the powers of a God, little g, a God in the sense that we live in a realm of authority. To be a God means that a person can think, speak, and therefore create. And we are doing it every minute of our lives. So I am just encouraging you to begin to realize who and what you are. I encourage you to begin to create your life exactly the way you want it to be. And remember, once you speak out an intention or you have a friend pray the prayer of the covenant with you, then at that moment it is done. Because at that moment, this vast hierarchy goes to work immediately. And all you have to do from that moment on is just to be thankful and know that the process is working and hold fast to what you said. Don't change it. So just take a minute right now and begin to visualize in your imagination all of those workers scurrying around and doing whatever is necessary to make it happen. And you know, if your own personal group of workers needs help, they can call out to a reserve corps of workers who will come and help them. Remember what Jesus said to Pilate? "I could call a legion of angels right this minute and they could deliver me out of this." And to get some idea of how big your own hierarchy of personal workers is, who do you think keeps track of all those hairs on your head? Can you count the ones that come out on your brush, or how many new ones come in each week? It takes a special celestial hair counter to do that. And our personal workers are keeping track of everything we are thinking and saying and wanting and desiring, and they're constantly at work to bring it to pass. You know, we actually have been taught about these workers, but in a very negative way. We have been taught that they are writing down everything bad that we have ever done, and that on Judgment Day, the books will be opened, and everything will be read that we have done. But this is just a fabrication of that angry, evil mind that taught us that God is angry. God is not angry. God wants us to have the desires of our heart. God wants us to live in the kingdom of heaven right here on earth. And so this vast hierarchy of workers is just keeping track of everything so they can bring to pass what we need and desire. And this is why if you are more specific, if you are more focused about what you want, things will happen faster. Because the clearer and the more simple that you can be will hasten the manifestation. And hold fast. Don't keep changing your mind. If you send them off doing one thing and then you change your mind and want something else, they have to completely change their momentum. Sometimes I can just see them looking at one another and saying, oh gosh, I wish she'd make up her mind. I'm just running around in circles here. I want to get something done. So if you pray, first of all, the moment you pray, say what you want, and then visualize this vast hierarchy of workers going to work to do it. Because they start immediately. Because the answer to your prayer is yes, and they have started to get it done. And then you just take your stand, and that you know you have it, and you've received the answer, and you just thank God until you actually see it. Because the Bible says that all of the promises of God are yea, which means yes, and amen. The promise is that you can have the desire of your heart. So ask, seek, and knock, and the answer is yea. Yes, yes, yes. And then you say amen when you see it. Just be very specific what you ask for. Now, sometimes you get the yes and the amen at the same time, like my neighbor who wanted the job at the gate at our retirement community, and she set her intention and she had the job the next day. And sometimes there's a little time in between the yay and the amen. And during this time in between, just rejoice and be thankful that you already have your answer and the workers are working on it. Sometimes there needs to be a process to be completed between the asking and the getting. I cut my finger last week, and it took a week for the cut to heal. This is an example of the in-between process, because my body had to start at the very bottom of the cut and work upwards to the skin layer. But today, you know, there's no evidence on my finger that I had cut it at all. The skin is pure and smooth and perfect. And if you have prayed the prayer of the covenant, you need to do your part of the covenant. And if you have prayed for a healing, sometimes there is the need for forgiveness or some other type of adjustment in your physical life. Like my son, who needed to release his annoyance, and then he got the healing on his eye. But just know, spiritual things are not bound by a time-space continuum. We've created time as a way to be more organized, but spirit doesn't live in time. In spirit, the answer is already given, and the manifestation is in the works. And also remember, and this is the most important, we are not to set up any conditions or expectations on how it's going to be answered. You know, in my daughter's case, I performed her surgery in a dream. Every day in the news on the internet, you read of something that has never been tried before, never been done before, because there are just endless possibilities of unrestricted actions by limitless celestial workers. And we add to that our own omniscient abilities as a God, little g, with the ability to know everything there is to know about anything. And lastly, and this is where the real fun starts, sometimes we get to participate. Because once you really get good at setting intentions and using the prayer of the covenant to get all of your own personal needs and desires met, then you can begin to work with this vast hierarchy of celestial beings to help others and to become a source yourself of this God energy in the here and now. Now, next week, I'm going to devote another whole program to the process of decreeing, because this is what is called, decreeing is the action of speaking out what we want. And the Bible says that man shall decree a thing and it shall come to pass. Because if you begin to be able to be very, very clear and very, very simple about what you want, you'll get quicker manifestations. So tune in next week for some help with step-by-step instructions and explanations about the decreeing process, and that'll help you out a lot. Prayer really works, and the more we understand the process, the better our life is going to be.
That's our show for today. You can contact Marcy Ann on her website, www.marcyann.com. Up at the top of the main page, there is a link. Click here for Marcy Ann's radio show. And thank you for tuning in today to Marcy Ann's Middle of the Week Pick Me Up Energy Show, which broadcasts every Wednesday at 9:30 a.m. Pacific Daylight Time from her studio in Southern California. You can also listen on Sundays at 7 p.m. to Marcy Ann's show, Say What, for reflections on life on planet Earth. And on Fridays at 5 p.m. is The Finding Mr. Right Show, a support show that helps single people find Ms. Right or Mr. Right, based on ideas and information in Marcy Ann's book at www.MrRightForMe.com. Thanks for listening.